This is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. And on Fox Sports Central Alabama at 98.3 FM in Birmingham and Sylacauga. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into The Drive. It is the wet Wednesday edition. You know, it seemed like we used to get a lot of rain on Wednesdays back in the day on the show. Well, bring back those old traditions. They're back. It has rained throughout the day and going to do it again for the next day or two. As a matter of fact, I decided to, since we're heading to Happy Valley, check the weather in State College. They're under a severe thunderstorm watch right now and expect heavy rains through tomorrow. But then by Friday, clearing up Saturday, looks like it's going to be nice. 79 degrees and partly cloudy.
Yeah, it should be nice. I guess, you know, same night, I think 60, 61 or so for the low. And, and we're talking about 7:30 Eastern time kick. So we could be low 70s at kickoff and into the 60s, obviously, during the game. That'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, that will be. And that's Jason Caldwell from inside the Auburn Tigers, AUTigers.com. How's it going, Jason?
Good. Yeah, you're right. I looked at that rain percentage. I was thinking they could have gone ahead and thrown about 1,000 on today and would have hit the nail. It has literally rained all day long. And it's not slowing anytime soon based on the radar.
It hasn't been terrible, but it's been steady.
Steady
pretty,
rain.
Pretty much all day long.
And we're getting a little bit of rain that was part of the hurricane that impacted Texas. In the Texas Gulf Coast. And of course, you know, thoughts with everybody who's been impacted by what was just yet another hurricane season here in the Southeast, where you know every couple of weeks it seems like there's...
That's the way it is this time of year.
Yeah, absolutely. So all the best.
Yep. That's Dan. I'm Bill, and we're here in the WOW Business Studio with the Wednesday Drive.
That's right, and you can get 2 months free on super fast business internet when you switch to WOW. Details at switchtowowbusiness.com.
Oh, just...
Break the news. What is it? Shout
Jason,
it out.
Yeah, Jason just showing us our friend, and you spend a little time on the air. With Jasher Cox, who is now moving on up his latest position. He is now the athletics director. Is it at Allen
University in South Carolina?
How about that? Yeah, he was at Lincoln Memorial in Tennessee.
I remember you telling me a couple of weeks ago that he had stepped down there, and that was portending another opportunity.
Yeah,
I
believe he resigned. I believe he resigned during SEC media days. You know, sort of when we were talking about it. We may have discussed it with Andy Burcham, as a matter of fact, when we saw him up there at media days. But it's great news to for someone who is an Auburn alum, a rising star in the world of college athletics,
local product Auburn alum. That's right, and you're right. He has moved up quickly.
Yeah, somebody whose name tough name to forget. Because he's the only Jasher I've ever encountered in my travels. I want to always happy to extend congratulations and well wishes and nothing but the best, right, to Jasher Cox and his great family.
Absolutely.
That's awesome news to begin the drive. What was the school again?
Allen University, which is an HBCU. I wasn't familiar with it, but they play Fort Valley State, Central State, Clark Atlanta, and Edward Waters. They play some of those teams and play foot. It's a football school.
Oh, okay, good.
So they do have football. I don't believe. His last school, I don't believe they had football. They had other sports. They were very good in basketball. And
gorgeous basketball arena.
Yeah,
you would
really
share
good
pictures of it on social media. It, up in, I think it's near Johnson City, Tennessee, was where the old school was, LMU. And now he's in South Carolina.
Yeah, so good for Jasher as we get things underway here on the Wednesday Drive. Hour number one of the drive with Jason Caldwell here in the WOW Business Studio, brought to you by our good friends at Kia of Auburn on South College and KiaofAuburn.com. Kia of Auburn, where you're always number one, and also the sponsor of our hotline, where we welcome your calls, questions, comments, anything on your mind sports-wise, and with Jason here. It's a great opportunity to get your questions to him about the Auburn-Penn State matchup. The number to get you through, 334-321-1390.
That's right. You can also text the show. You can reach out to the ESPN 106.7 text box at 334-564-1840. You send us anything really good, we'll read it on the air.
Absolutely. So come on in and join us. Just underway here on the Wednesday Drive. And Jason, this is the week that a lot of folks have been waiting for. I mean, Auburn did what they needed to do, took care of business in the first two ball games. Now here's the big trip to Happy Valley.
It did, and you know, last Saturday was kind of what I thought might see in week one, where you had, you know, some issues, you know, a little, you know, from false starts, all those things. I thought that might, you know, I said last week too. I think there's going to be some times when you run into a couple of rough patches, and we saw that on offense and saw a couple of drops that you know were impactful on the offense, but they responded. They made some adjustments. And I tell you what, I said it walking off the field Saturday. That felt like a game the last couple of years that would have been 34-13. That's exactly what it felt like, and it was not. It was
and close going into the fourth quarter.
Yeah, where you're having to play the starters the whole game, or maybe the last try. It felt like, again, it felt like that. You know, that was a game again last year, the year before last. It would have been 34-13. You would have been kind of going, man, you missed an opportunity right here. They got their opportunities to play those younger guys, but did it with special teams plays. Defense comes up big, scores a touchdown, and then the offense gets it going on the ground. Never really got the offense, the passing game untracked a whole lot, but Demetrius Robertson, a couple of big plays for me. The goal line, 6-yard touchdown, Bo checks into the play and throws the kind of that corner a little bit route to him. And then the other throw, you know, over where he, you know, had man coverage and throws it over the outside shoulder.
Perfect pass.
Those, to me, were two really important plays. I thought it showed a connection with those two guys already.
The touchdown on the sideline to Robertson.
Yeah.
We were discussing it earlier in the week. I mean, you can't put that. I mean, there's one spot where you can put that ball, because if you're wrong on one side, it's out of bounds. You're wrong on the other side, it's an interception. And he put it there.
And I said, and that's one where he checks. He checks into the play, sees a mismatch. Those are things I think are really important. And this week, it's about communication. Can you communicate?
Right.
Can you get it done? That was a big issue at Florida a couple of years ago. This is going to be the Tank's never played in a situation like this. Obviously, you know, but you think about.
There are a lot of guys that have, though.
But a lot of guys that have. But just think, all right, run across that offensive line. They played in some big games last year.
That's true. But that's true, without crowds.
Nick Brahms has, Austin Troxell has, and Brandon Council has at Akron.
But as a visitor to SEC teams.
Yes, correct.
But even that's
it wasn't anything like
not
what it's going to be
and
Saturday.
So that, you know, this is the first big opportunity. Last year, they could still communicate. You know, they could talk. Now it's going to be that nonverbal. We heard Nick Brahms say it a dozen times yesterday, nonverbal communication, how important it's going to be to be able to do that. But looking forward to it. You're right. This is one we've been pointing to. For not only for a couple months, for a couple of years.
Years. I mean, because it has been decades. It's been nearly a century since Auburn's been to a Big Ten school.
Yeah, and those things are very – I think, what is it, two or three ranked SEC teams have ever played on the road in the Big Ten against – I mean, like, this is only top 25 matchup. There have only been two or three of them ever at a Big Ten school.
If you're going to play a Big Ten school, we were looking at capacity, you know, stadium capacity earlier today. This is one of the three. You know, I mean, with Ohio State and Michigan, this is one of the three where it's not just a trip to a Big Ten school. This is a trip to the win percentage when Paterno was the head coach. I believe they were fourth or fifth nationally in win percentage during that 35-year period or whatever when Joe – I mean, this is a – and maybe last year they lost a couple more games than people thought they were going to. This is a trip to a college football super heavyweight.
Yeah, and they've kept it up. That's the thing. You look at Big Ten and you say, in terms of just tradition, you could throw Nebraska into that mix now. But the had Penn State not got back to this level – then you go, well, it's not the same, but it is. You're right. They're back to that level.
You
now.
Get the James Franklin hire wrong, you're Nebraska,
correct.
But they didn't. But
they've been able to ride it, and it's because of recruiting. You know, they got – you start running down the list, and, you know, I kind of put up some stuff about their linebacker group, and I go, this guy's 6'3", 241, another guy's, 6'3", 235, and people say, well, maybe we can exploit them, because they're big. And I was like, well, that guy was the number 10 player in the country. That guy was the number 22 player in the country. Those were both five-star linebackers. I go, okay, yeah. Now, make no mistake about it. Now, they haven't been great, and their offensive talent to me is still maybe a little bit more. Their defense can go. They got some guys that can run. It's going to take a very, very strong effort from Auburn to get a win.
Yeah, James Franklin has recruited like players like he was playing against and recruiting in the Southeastern Conference. This is not your old Penn State plotting. Just because they wear black shoes, that makes them look a little slower sometimes, but they're not a terribly slow team.
No,
that you think of sometimes when you think of Big Ten schools.
And one note on Penn State at 5 o'clock, we'll welcome in Joe Giuliano today. He's the Penn State reporter, among other things.
Long time covered Penn State, I believe, since the 1970s.
That's right. He's been he's been covering sports at the Philadelphia Inquirer, for a while, and he covers Penn State on the beat. They're in Philadelphia. We're gonna talk with Joe about the Penn State side of this game. Something I'd like to know from Jason is, we understand the opposition Auburn has faced the first 2 weeks of the season and how dangerous it can be to take success against those two teams and project it you did this well, so that means you're gonna do it well, when you start playing SEC teams or you're at Penn State. Acknowledging that, is there anything this team has done well in the first 2 weeks of the season that you're pretty confident they're going to be able to do well all season long?
Yeah, I think they're going to be able to run the football. I thought, last year this group, when healthy, ran the football, with Tank Bigsby when he was healthy. Like, they ran the football against pretty much everybody when they were healthy. Now, the games they didn't run it was when Tank was hurt and you had Brandon Council out.
They got away from it inexplicably at South Carolina.
But you look at it.
I'm sure there was an injury there. It might have just been.
But when they were able to line up and run it, I think they're going to be able to line up and run it. That you don't have to do it for 300 yards, but you can't have one of those games where you look up and you got 42 yards rushing. That's been an issue in struggles under Gus Malzahn. It would be an issue under Mike Bobo right now, in my opinion, even though
I think it'd be an issue for most teams.
There's teams that – Mississippi State, for example.
Right, but like for most teams that want to try to be balanced.
Correct. It becomes a struggle then. And especially because right now you look and go, last week wasn't a great game for the wide receivers, to be quite honest. They dropped some passes. Now, Demetrius Robertson was better. He had a drop thrown in there as well, but
I thought they really missed Javarius Johnson.
Yes, I think get him back. He's a guy that understands the route running in the middle of the field. Get him in inside. I think you're right. I think no matter what, to me, it's running the football is where I feel like they can do things. And then I think defensively.
Well, but real quick before we get to the defensive point, because I want to hear it. But Bill, I believe, and let's give proper attribution here, Stat Tiger.
Yeah, Stat Tiger's numbers yesterday on the road with Bo, when Auburn's been held under 140 yards, they haven't won a game.
Yeah, that's it.
Make that, because I don't know if we said that on the air.
0-6 yesterday. Yeah, Stat Tiger put out Auburn under Bo with Bo as quarterback on the road when held to under 140 yards rushing. They're 0-6.
Yeah.
That means they're 5-1 when they get over 140.
And that is, that is, to me, like I said, that's been the key under Gus Malzahn. It makes a tremendous difference. And it's, you look and you go, these offenses, Gus's offense especially, but this offense too, when you're sitting there at 3rd and 8, it's going to be very difficult to go and make a bunch of first downs 3rd and 8. Because you look at it, and like I said, wide receiver group, they've been good. So far, there haven't been a ton of separation. Now, they got some in Akron, but a lot of that was by this play design and because they're running the football well. Can you line up? And you got guys, you go, do I feel like I can line up and beat this secondary on 3rd and 8? You might do it one time. Can you do it, if you have 7 of those a game, how many of them can you convert?
I get the feeling, not to disrespect the receivers, and I could be proven wrong on this, but I get the feeling a lot of the separation this season is going to be aided by the threat of the running game.
Oh, yeah.
There's nothing wrong with it.
It's going to have to be single coverage.
No, yes, correct. I think that's the thing that right now you look at, and that's where I'm going with that is it all predicated on being a run of football. This is not a game to where you're going to line up, and if you look up and Auburn's had to throw the ball 35 times Saturday night, probably not a good idea unless
they run 90 plays.
Yes, which this offense is not going to be as fast. They're right. not going to run as many.
But Wisconsin ran 95.
They did. They ran a ton of plays.
That's unbelievable.
They grinded out third and twos. Third and twos. Now, that's where you are. If you can stay in third and twos and run tank and fourth and one from the 40, say, okay, we're gonna hold the football. We're going to grind it out. Then you give yourself a chance to do some things,
I
think.
You got a 6'7" quarterback on the bench who looked pretty good with quarterback sneaks and short.
Yeah, you've also got another quarterback who's got some wheels.
No, I'm not opposed to running Bo next to it. I saw the TJ Finley quarterback sneak and thought, well, hey, maybe that's an idea.
Here's
one yard to go.
It is, but I wasn't really fired up about the blocking under center last week.
No, well, especially when Auburn went double tight.
Yes, there wasn't much movement then. I think continuing to spread the field out
better. And it also gives Tank and Jarquez and Sean, if he's whoever, gives them a crease, an opportunity at a crease there where it's much more difficult to do when everybody's packed in.
And I'm not sure it's so simple as being able to point to Brandon Council's injury either, because I think there were some problems before he got hurt.
Yeah, there was early on. There was a short yardage play. He got tackled for a loss or whatever. I think it's continuing to evolve for Mike Bobo. What do these guys do well? Where are we at in some of these situations? I do like under center in the regular run game some, even when you have two or three, because I like the play action threat. I think that's where this thing can evolve a little bit more with Bo. I think, to me, he's looked really good in the play action under center stuff. I think he's done a good job in transitioning to that for the first time in his career.
And I think that's not a bad idea when you're in front of a raucous, loud crowd either, being under center.
I won't be surprised if, because we've seen so much of Schenker as sort of a lead blocking fullback, if he's incorporated into the pass game a little bit and what you guys are talking about there with the play action. And Jason, somebody that you've, since we were talking about running the football anyway, so somebody that you were early on as a guy who could make an impact, early in his college football career. I don't know if you were expecting this, is Jarquez Hunter. Please tell us what you've thought of Jarquez through the first two.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting what I've seen so far.
250-something yards in the first two? No.
I keep coming back to one thing. The thing I keep coming back to is when you break Marcus Dupree's school record for touchdowns.
Yeah.
Because that guy was as good as anybody I've ever seen.
He was a legend.
Yes. As good as anybody I've ever seen. When you break a school record for a guy like that, first of all, that you're pretty talented.
Jason, the question I've gotten and I wanted to ask you is, why was there not more buzz about Jarquez Hunter?
Hey, just remember, this is a year where coaches weren't on the road. It's just going to happen.
Wow.
I talked about coaches, seeing guys falling through the cracks some. We're going to find more of these guys. He just happened to be a guy that has had an opportunity to come. We're going to find more of these guys that show up at schools and they go, how's that guy at Southern Miss? How's that guy at South Alabama? Because you take away a year of evaluations, a year of guys not visiting. My guess would be they saw him and they went, I'm not big he is. He may really be 5'8".
Just looking at him on film?
Because he's so stocky.
Yeah.
But they couldn't get him on campus and they couldn't visit him in person. So it would have had to have been official visit late in the year. So that would be my guess, is go to look at him and go, my, he's probably 5'8". You can call a high school coach and the coach goes, no, he's 5'10". Yeah. Now he's trying to sell his guy. So to me, that's probably what, in my opinion, what hurt him. But we're going to find some more of these guys that you look up and go, how in the world is that guy at Ball State? That guy should be in the SEC
now. How's that guy running through the Florida State secondary in a Jacksonville State uniform?
With single coverage.
Well, that's Florida State. That's part of that. All right, we need to get to our first break of the afternoon. I'd love for you to join in on the Kia of Auburn hotline, 334-321-1390, as we continue just underway here on the Wednesday Drive.
wheel here.
ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com and on Fox Sports Central Alabama at 98.3 FM in Birmingham and Sylacauga. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into The Drive, 22 minutes after 4 o'clock here on this Wednesday afternoon. Bill, Dan, Jason Caldwell from inside the Auburn Tigers, autigers.com, here in the WOW Business Studio. And we'd love for you to join in. Your thoughts, your, you know, what do you think you'll see? What would you like to see? What do you think you need to see for Auburn to win? Jason, I mean, as except for some people, it seems like, in this part of the country, there sure seems to be a lot of confidence in Penn State. Even though I guess it might be a little bit of a tip toward Auburn, that they're only a 6-7 point underdog as a team that is ranked, you know, in the bottom five of the top 25, where Penn State's right there at the top 10.
Correct. I mean, you got a top 10 team that's already won a ranked game on the road this
right.
season. To only be six games, to me, tells you that. The odds makers and folks that do those things feel like this is probably a toss-up game, that this is a game that's going to go to the fourth quarter. I think so as well. No, it's a not surprise. I'm not surprised that, you know, outside of Auburn, most people probably have more belief in Penn State because it's a home game, because Auburn has struggled
well,
on the road.
True.
Against these type of opponents.
To be fair, though, I mean, this is a game that opened at 7 and has moved to 5 at most places. So the indication would be that maybe there's been some.
Well, what I have read in multiple places is don't follow along like the dumb sheep that are betting on Auburn. That's what I've read multiple places. Like, well, the money's going to go Auburn's way, but the smart people know it's Penn State. I mean, we'll see, and that's why they're playing it. I understand that thought, but. But it's not like Penn State is, coming back off a great season themselves from a year ago.
Well, in all honesty, going on a road right now anywhere, maybe except for going to Tuscaloosa. I mean, Georgia's defense is really good, but you start going, who would you go? Yeah, absolutely. That's going to be more than a touchdown. I don't know anyone right now. I don't know enough about any team to say that.
That's a good point.
You know, somebody asked me today, said, you know, what do you think? I said, I think it's going to be a 20-17 or 23-20 kind of game, whatever. But who knows?
Well, the numbers next to teams' names right now are largely meaningless. I mean, I watched a team.
Yeah, we saw that last week.
Well, I watched a team with a 5 next to their name go without scoring a touchdown against Colorado for 57 minutes on Saturday. So, I mean, I don't know exactly how accurate a lot of – you know, I mean, you understand what I'm talking
Absolutely.
About.
Absolutely. We've seen Clemson struggle. They won going away the other day, but it wasn't because they played exceptionally well on offense. We saw Georgia just completely throttle UAB, and it was about 6 plays from Stetson Bennett, who we've seen him do that before at times. But then when, you know, about 3 weeks later, then nowhere to be found. I don't know. I think there's tons of questions about everybody. And I would have, you know, no issues in saying, hey, I think Auburn can win pretty much anywhere right now. But you can also, hey, they can lose about anywhere right now. You just don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point. That's one thing that you hear over and over and over again is the struggles that Auburn and Bo have had on the road. The one thing, there's an exception. Dan and I were talking about this earlier. You look at most of those losses have been to teams that don't lose many games at home. Alabama, LSU 19, Georgia, Florida. Those you go, yeah, it's tough to win. South Carolina is definitely
it's,
the exception.
It's the anomaly out yes. of the whole situation. Florida was crowd noise.
Florida was just loud. I'm really looking forward to Saturday to hear how loud it is, because Florida was one of the loudest places I've ever been to.
Well,
years ago.
Here's what I try to tell people. Once you get to a certain level, that's it.
You can't
it's
hear.
It's just loud.
You can't
it
hear.
Doesn't matter how much louder it is, because they're all the same.
It's like comparing a jet engine to two jet engines.
It is.
Right?
It is. I'm just telling you that I tell folks, like, the loudest place you can go is Mississippi State. Now, you know, they don't ring the cowbells.
I don't know that it's the loudest. It is the most
irritating.
Yes, you're right. Yeah, there you go.
Which is, to me, is almost makes it even more, even tougher at times. But yeah, here's, you know, I've had people tell me, like, it's really a great place because Texas A&M, 100,000 folks, not loud. It's almost like you're in a beehive and they're humming.
Yeah.
It's like
vuvuzelas, right?
Yeah, because they're waving their towels. They're not crazy. Florida's crazy. Now I've heard that Penn State on a whiteout is much more into the game. That's why for me this one, the first 8-9 minutes of this game are crucial.
Right.
I mean, you think about going on the road, just can't go up there and give up a big play, turn it over. You got to get into the game and let everything settle down a little bit.
We're close enough to the break that I want to give you a little time to think about this, and we'll come back with the answers. But I'd like to know something you think really has to go well for Penn State if they're going to win the game, something that really has to go well for Auburn. If you think Auburn's going to win the game, maybe highlight a player or two for Auburn you think has outsized importance. I think those are, I mean, because this feels like, I mean, this is much bigger than your average out of conference game. I mean, this is. I mean, you can try to shake off the, you know, I'm sure the loser of this game will, you know, try to shake off the sting and say,
oh, it doesn't affect the conference.
Yeah, we're back in the conference, but there is. I mean, this is a game that can springboard you towards a special season if you're able to win, and it deserves the full Jason Caldwell breakdown.
Back with Jason for a couple of more segments, so come on in and join us on the Kia of Auburn hotline, 334-321-1390, as we continue with the Wednesday Drive.
ESPN 106.7, online at ESPNAU.com, and on Fox Sports Central Alabama at 98.3 FM in Birmingham and Sylacauga. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Wednesday afternoon. Bill, Dan, Jason Caldwell here in the WOW Business Studio. And, Dan had a question for Jason there, and Jason gave him a little time to think about, I guess, players or keys or what needs to go right.
Yeah. I think if you're Penn State, you got to have some big plays in a passing game. That's kind of been their thing. They haven't been able to this point, been able to line up and just run the ball and win games. They haven't shown that anyway.
Doesn't seem like Franklin's style either. Like, unless, I mean, he had Saquon Barkley and was able to do it then, but he seems like a guy that airs it out.
Even then, they had quarterback that was running around making plays, and that's kind of what they did. But I think big plays. On offense is the key for Penn State. I think to me, it's going to be hard to imagine you're going to line up against this Auburn defense and go 70, 75 yards, you know, three or four times in a game.
That's the way Auburn has played thus far, making teams,
correct,
you know, go lengthy, you know, go on lengthy drives.
Yeah. You know, and Auburn, there's, you know, obviously we know so much more about Auburn. There's a few things I look at. One of those is defensively. Yeah. You want to make teams drive the field, but you can't give up 6-7 yard passes over and over again like they've done the first 2 weeks.
Yeah, you can't allow the opposition to complete 70 to 75% of their passes.
To me, like this is the week where you got to go, look, you know, we got to play a little tighter, got to do some things. And I think some of it's been by design, going, look, we're not going to give up big plays. You got to worry about it.
I think part of it is also maybe our hope. Maybe this is hope. That part of it has been by design, not necessarily showing everything.
Yeah, I think you got things that obviously you haven't shown. So, to me, defensively, that knowing that, hey, you got to trust your pass rush to get back there. So that's that's kind of a starting point for me. Offensively, when we talked about it, you got to be able to run the football. To me, this is a really important game for Tank. I think Tank, this is his stage, this is his opportunity. He hasn't had it. You know, they played big games last year, but he was a guy that had been hurt some. Everybody kind of knew. Now he's become the guy that everybody said, hey, this is number one running back in the country. This is as big as it gets. ABC primetime. You got, you know, this is an opportunity for him, but passing game. Not necessarily line up, throw him the ball five or six times out of the backfield and make those guys chase him on the perimeter. I think it's a huge weapon for this offense. For me, when I look at keys, I'm going to running backs, back to those tight ends again. Third, five. How many 5 and 6 yard passes can Auburn have to keep yourself in third and twos and avoid third and eights? Those could be really, really important Saturday night.
Yeah, I guess the idea of, and we were curious to see it because it seemed like they were working on it when we would get to see the team during the off season. The notion of, in the past, Bo Nix has scrambled and he's been looking downfield and he's been waiting for a receiver to get open while he extends the play. Mike Bobo traditionally has somebody more of a safety valve, a running back or a tight end you can go to in those situations so the quarterback isn't holding the ball for a very long time, you know, sort of waiting for something to develop.
Yes.
Have you been impressed through the first 2 weeks with the way it seems like there's a very deliberate plan for who needs to get the ball and when in this offense?
Yeah, I think they've done a good job, but now I think this is the week where you start to factor in more of reading that defense, the players understanding what's coming, and that's where that communication comes in, knowing what to expect from a defense. So I think they've done a good job, but yeah, this is it's a much, much bigger part of the offense now, potential part of the offense now, and having those secondary receivers, the running backs to dump the ball off to in certain situations. Tight ends is a safety valve in an offense. Safety valve, tight end throws. I still think that part of this offense is something we haven't seen. Either Tyler Fromm or Brandon Frazier try to stretch the field, the middle of the field, with a tight end. We haven't seen it yet.
Nope.
I think that's part.
Haven't seen much Brandon Frazier at all.
No,
the starters,
and,
right?
You know, I think he's played some, but I think those guys. And here's the thing, Luke Deal's a guy that has much better hands than people think. You start thinking about him in short yardage, goal line, some situations there. To me, those are the passes. Yeah, you need a couple of big plays. Somebody's got to step up, and make a play. But to win this game, got to run the football and move the chains with those guys, and that's where that shorter passing game could be really important.
Jason Caldwell from inside the Auburn Tigers, AUTigers.com here with us.
What's better than that, right, Bill? If you're trying to preview this game, that's thank you, Jason. That was wonderful.
Jason, as we were talking a while ago, we'll get back more to Auburn Penn State. And again, we welcome your calls, questions, comments about it. You know, when you said you've got questions about just about everybody, look at the SEC and look at the SEC West right now, because I think everybody's perceptions of the way things were going to be. All right, Alabama's still there at the top, and rightfully so right now. But after that, there's no telling who's anywhere between 2 and 7.
No.
Safety glasses or something when you look at the SEC West right now.
You have no idea, because you're right. Because last week going into it, you go, it's hard to look worse than Mississippi State and Arkansas did. They found a way to win in week one, but you go, oh, man, that was not very good.
Oh, I was so solid on Texas going into last weekend.
And Arkansas just opens up a can.
They dominated that ball game.
That to me, now Arkansas played well. To me, that was much more on Texas and the lack of line of scrimmage recruiting for them and development at the line of scrimmage. I thought it was embarrassing for Texas to give up 330-plus rushing yards. Mm-hmm. I mean, that wasn't Darren McFadden and Felix Jones over there on the other side of the ball. This Arkansas team's better, but it wasn't those guys over there that they're running wild against Texas. I mean, it's much improved. Ole Miss, again, you know, people have kind of talked about them. I don't know that we know much more about Ole Miss than we do Auburn.
Right.
I mean, Louisville was that bad.
I want to see the Ole Miss defense against Tulane.
Correct.
It's too bad that's on during the Auburn game, but that's a game I'm going to be following.
Ole Miss will score 50, but Tulane may score 40.
Right.
I think that's an intriguing game just to see what happens.
Some of that Ole Miss defensive performance in the opener was Louisville offense.
Absolutely.
Some of that was related to Louisville having struggles in the offense. I'm interested in Friday night's game between Louisville and UCF.
I'm not. I think it's going to be 50-10.
You think UCF's going there? Seven. The number there's only seven
I
for
can't,
UCF.
I can't
in,
understand watching
in Louisville on Friday night.
I think, you know, can he throw the, you know, Louisville hadn't shown any ability to throw the football. No weapons now field. And, you know, you talk about who teams lost. They lost some really good wide receivers. I would be shocked if that game's not three or four touchdowns by the time it's done.
And we talked about Texas A&M a while ago. I mean, they should have lost. Well, they very well could have lost that ball game. We were talking, I don't know if we were talking about this earlier today and here, but Jimbo Fisher's another one of those guys that if they had just lined up and run the ball, I think they could have won by 17 to 21 points. But Jimbo can't stand it. He's got to throw it, and he's trying to throw it with his backup quarterback.
And now it's going to be his quarterback for the next couple of months, unless somebody else, unless he falters, somebody else. Zach Calzada's guy's got a strong arm. Made a couple of plays there on that last drive, but that wasn't a wow you moment there by any stretch of imagination. They could have lined up and run it, but, Colorado made a few plays.
They had their chances.
But, yeah, correct. And here's the thing. Texas A&M didn't blow the water away, in week one against Kent State either. I mean, they played really good against them. Question marks galore everywhere. I mean,
and they're a top 10 team,
top number five team in the country.
Unbelievable.
Get to the other big game in the league this week. Florida's playing the wrong quarterback. Will they be able to play the other quarterback? Is he healthy, Anthony Richardson? You're not beating Alabama with Emory Jones. You're probably not going to beat him with Anthony Richardson either. But I think you have a shot to at least make some plays with him if you play the quarterback.
So Mullen insists that. Both quarterbacks.
Oh, he said Richardson's practiced all week.
No, Mullen insists that Jones and Richardson are both going to play, that they know the plan as far as how they're going to be. I don't know when Mullen talked to the media earlier today. Would this have been the conference
SEC
call?
Teleconference.
The teleconference? Yeah. Okay, so Mullen talked about how, he says both quarterbacks have bought into a two-quarterback system, a timeshare. And that's going to that's going to be the plan this Saturday. I mean,
Dan's never lied.
I mean, I understand that. I mean, what else are they going to do? If you get a chance to play,
I don't know that either one of them can pass the ball.
No, I think Anthony Richardson is a little bit better. We hadn't seen much of it.
Right.
I'm just telling you, I saw Emory Jones in person, and it was funny. The game I saw him in person, Jack West was a quarterback on the other side who went to Stanford. Both those guys were the guys that came in. Now, Stanford kind of split time. He was a starter, though, in week one, and they were horrific, against Kansas State. They start the other quarterback, blow USC out of the water, cost Costa Manna's job in week two. Emory Jones has not shown me the ability that's going to be a guy, and never has. He's going to be a guy to lead them to a championship.
I suspect that timeshare is going to end the moment one of those two quarterbacks starts to throw the ball well.
Or the moment that team gets embarrassed, which very well could be Saturday.
Well, I actually don't think – I mean, I think if there's no difference between the two, I think Dan Mullen will keep it, you know what I mean? Like, I think
but if Emory Jones goes out there and really stinks it up against Alabama and they look like they've got any life – with Anthony Richardson, and then they end up losing by 21, 28 or something like that, then that'll be the last you see of Emory Jones taking snaps at Florida.
I would mostly agree with that. I would ask, I mean, are you surprised this is the plan going into the Alabama game for Mullen?
Like Bill said, I'm not surprised that's what he's saying in public.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll see if that's the plan when they get out there. But I don't know that. Now, here's where we don't know. We don't know if Anthony Richardson's ready to run entire offense.
And we don't know if he's healthy
either.
Yeah,
and so I think that's where the question mark still comes in.
Yeah. And then there's LSU in the West.
Again,
man,
I have no idea.
That has been as close to the whole program.
And ending of this week,
it's
the John Emery
the
stuff.
Smoke's coming from there. You're wondering, when's that fire going to be really
correct.
Visible?
We were talking with, I think it was Jake yesterday. We were talking the idea that if you think about where the conference was not all that long ago, the idea that we could be on the verge of LSU is going to be an underdog at Mississippi State. A&M and Arkansas are going to play on a neutral site, and Arkansas could be favored in that game.
I don't think they will be, but they could be.
They could be, and I
wouldn't be surprised if they won.
I wouldn't be surprised. And then you've got Florida, Kentucky in a couple of weeks in Lexington, and I mean, I don't know if Florida
is it in Lexington?
It's in Lexington.
If it's in Lexington, Kentucky's going to be favored by 4 or 5. I guess.
So who would have thought those
nobody
could happen?
No, and here's the thing, you look at Kentucky's schedule; they miss everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they miss everybody. If they were to beat Florida, then Georgia is it potentially for them. That's it. I mean, they could be an 11-win team.
That's right. 334-321-1390. Let's get to Jeff before we get to our final break of hour number one. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, gentlemen. How you doing?
Doing fine.
Good.
Good, good. Where is Happy Valley Week? Looking forward to it.
It's going to be a lot of fun. I think lots of folks have been pointing towards this week. This is, somebody asked me, this one is bucket list. It's a bucket list game to to go to Penn State. You've heard about it, forever, and to go up there and see a game there.
Auburn went and played a true road game at Clemson in 17. This feels like that.
Yes. I feel real confident. I know the environment. We understand that. But this reminds me of 2019. When we made the trip down to Baton Rouge. And I think we got a much more mature bowl this time. And these kids have gone through these environments. We've been through the swamp, been through Kyle Field. So I don't think the environment is going to bother them. We have a lot of mature, experienced players. So I think, bowl, you're going to see a good bowl this weekend.
I think about to that game. You got to make plays. And you got to take advantage of them when you get the opportunity. I think about a play in that game. Think about DJ Williams running out of bounds.
Oh yeah,
and you have to kick a field goal instead of scoring a touchdown. A play like that, how much one play can impact the rest of a football game? You got those opportunities to make plays. You got to make them, and that's going to be across the board for this team. But you're right. You're going to be there. You're going to have those opportunities. Can you make the play when it's time to come?
I know some people who will tell you that their lasting memory of the 2019 Auburn LSU game is Derek Brown and Marlon Davidson being held on every play by the LSU offensive line without it ever being called. We don't need to get into this. This can wait for LSU week.
Right.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a trenches game and field position. One thing about it, our defense and our special teams, I think those are going to be the very, very key, in my opinion, to this game. And I think we're sitting good in all those positions right now.
Yeah, again, I'm hoping Javarius Johnson is 100%.
And you mentioned trenches. If you're Auburn's offensive line, then you're talking about everybody for 2 years is gone. They're not good enough. This is a game where you can go out and say, hey, guys, we're good enough. This is that opportunity, Saturday night.
Appreciate the call, Jeff. We have to get to our final break of hour number one, our final segment with Jason Caldwell of Inside the Auburn Tigers, AUTigers.com. Come on in and join us here on the Wednesday Drive.
The Drive, Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com and on Fox Sports Central Alabama at 98.3 FM in Birmingham and Sylacauga. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502 or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Final few minutes of hour number one of The Drive, right to the Kia of Auburn hotline, and Dan is up first. Hey, Dan.
Hey, guys. Yeah, if you think about the last few years and even before Bo Nix even got here, we've struggled on the road against some of the best teams out there and some of the best environments. But if you think about most of those games, whatever was at LSU, which we lost 20-23. When we were at Florida, we lost, I think it was 24-13. The defense showed up. The special teams was good. It's just the offense would come out, and they might score a touchdown, and then they would get totally bogged down.
Move the ball on the first possession almost every time.
Yeah, sub 300 yards offense, I think,
and then be stuffed after that.
Yeah, I mean, we played Clemson. I think it was like 14-6 or something.
Yep.
It's like when you're running an offense.
It felt like it was 50-6.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, the defense came out and always played well. But when you're running an offense, one guy running a pattern and they're getting pressure pretty fast, and the quarterback doesn't have any other options other than run for your life and maybe scramble and hopefully get it. It's like that's just not an offense that's going to help you on the road. And I think, from what I've seen so far, obviously the competition hasn't been there yet, but this offense gives the quarterback lots of options. It lets him audible. It has checkdowns to tight ends and to running backs and everything else. Like those are things that you need to help you, get those first downs. And I think I don't expect us to go there and maybe score 50 points, but I'm pretty confident that we can score 30.
Auburn scores 30. I think they've got a great shot of
it. If Auburn scores 30, then they're coming home a winner.
Yeah. I'm not sure both teams. I think the total's right around 53 in this game. I mean, I would be surprised if this were a game where both teams got to 30, for sure.
Very. Unless it's overtime.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the thing. I just think it's a different offense now, and I think Bo has, you know, a lot more things that can help him out. And I honestly, I just think it's going to be, we're going to actually get to see what this offense is, and I'm pretty confident the defense is going to show up. So anyway, appreciate it, guys.
Appreciate it, Dan. Let's get to Matt before we run out of time. Hey, Matt.
Hey, guys. Notice Sean Saunders wasn't on the field, and I'm wondering if there was an update on his injury or what's going on there.
No update. As of yet, Brian Harsin said this week the guys who didn't play, he's hopeful they'll play this week. We don't know. You know, there's been speculation that it could be a quarantine thing. We don't know that for sure.
We just know that he wasn't there on the sidelines.
On the sidelines, yes. But, you know, so that's one to just wait and see. If it was a quarantine and it happened late in the week, then chances are we wouldn't see him again this Saturday.
I would brace for his absence on Saturday, but if he's out there warming up, you know, that's good news,
but
too.
But Auburn's fortunate that they have, you know, they found, you know, what they have in Jarquez Hunter. Appreciate the call, Matt. Jason, before we run out of time, let everybody know on a busy week what they can find there at AUTigers.com.
Absolutely. We'll have tons of previews still leading up. We already had a bunch. We'll have more leading up to Saturday's game, and can check those out. Have our picks will be up later this week as well. Always recruiting stuff going on. Some baseball. No, we didn't have a chance to mention, SEC schedule came out for 2022. Tough slate for Butch Thompson and the Tigers. So all that and more, you can check us out there at AUTigers.com, Auburn 247.
When are you heading up?
We're Friday morning. So we'll fly into Baltimore, drive up to Harrisburg on Friday, and then drive in Saturday
morning. Flying to Philly Friday evening and staying in Harrisburg.
I got you. So we'll be there.
All right. See you, Jason. Thanks again. Jason Caldwell from inside the Auburn Tigers, AUTigers.com. We have a special guest from the Philadelphia Inquirer when we come back with hour number two. Here on the Wednesday Drive.
We will hear from University.
At ESPNAU.com. And on Fox Sports Central Alabama at 98.3 FM in Birmingham and Sylacauga. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome into hour number two of the Wednesday Drive. Bill and Dan here in the WOW Business Studio. Drew at the controls. Our thanks to Jason Caldwell from inside the Auburn Tigers for being with us, as he usually is, for hour number one. I hope you had a chance to hear Jason. Great stuff from him, as always. But if not, you can check out our podcasts. Again, we're here in the WOW Business Studio, hour number two of the Wednesday Drive, brought to you by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com.
That's right, and of course we're here in the WOW Business Studio. You can get 2 months free on super fast business internet when you switch to WOW. Details at switchtowowbusiness.com. Definitely want to thank Jason Caldwell for making some time for us there in hour number one, and providing some incredible analysis of this Saturday's Auburn Penn State game, a really big game for both programs, and pivotal moment early for Bo Nix in the 2021 season, and for new head coach Brian Harsin.
And as we said, it's hour number two. We will get back to your phone calls here in a little while on the Kia of Auburn hotline, but no, I'm saying we'll do that, and it's also where we take our guests. We are efforting, and hopefully we'll be joined here shortly by Joe Giuliano of the Philadelphia Inquirer, longtime follower of Penn State and been covering Penn State football. I was looking at his bio, Dan, and I believe he covered Penn State from the mid-70s through the mid-80s for the Sporting News.
That's right.
Well, yeah, I mean, his time covering Penn State goes back a few years.
Right, and we're hopeful that we'll be able to talk to Joe in hour number two, where we're looking forward to getting some expertise from the Penn State side of things about this game. It's a big game too. For I mean, we've obviously focused on the stakes, you know, on the Auburn side, but this is a. This is a big game for James Franklin and a Penn State program that wants to put last year behind them, and they want to remind people that this is a program that for much of James Franklin's tenure and for much of the last 50 years, but certainly in Franklin's tenure of late, they've been knocking on the doorstep of the college football playoff,
close,
but not able to not able to actually grab the brass ring of the conference championship or the playoff berth.
They knock off Auburn and they're in pretty good position when you look at the way things have gone. They got that win at Penn State, a nationally ranked road win, and if they beat Auburn here with game day. There, I mean, they would stand to move on up even more and position themselves pretty well as they get ready for the rest of the Big Ten schedule. But yeah, to getting ready to talk with Joe Giuliano, you see what I had pulled up? I was going to ask him for the best cheesesteak near the airport.
Oh, interesting. Okay, I'm sure. I mean, there
that's
are.
That's really important.
Aren't there now? I don't know much about Philadelphia geography, but there's aren't there like two really famous Philly cheesesteak places,
and
they're
and
like
you're not supposed to ask,
and they're across the street from one another or something, and like one of them uses real cheese and one of them uses Cheese Whiz or something, I think on the cheesesteak. So there's something like I'll do some research on this for you after the show, but it's
I've read a little of that. I mean, I spent a summer there working for two moving companies back when I was in school because one of our good friends. We were all roommates, a bunch of us for a while, was from Malvern, which is a suburb of Philly. And so he got us jobs working for a couple of moving companies up there. And we learned some of the tricks of the union moving trade, which was when we first started, Dan. All right, so when we first started.
I'm sure there are tricks of the union.
Well, let me tell you.
I'm
sure things have changed and nothing like this goes on anymore. But when we first started, there were three of us from Auburn who were there. There was me. I was in the state of Alabama. There was Tom. He was from Philly. And then there was Pat, and Pat was from El Paso and was a wrestler. So what they did when we first got started is they sent the three of us out together, just the three of us, to go make some smaller moving jobs. So we did that, and we'd work as hard as we could, clock in at 7, you know, work until lunchtime, then go back, you know, an hour later and work as hard as we could and get back and clock out at 5. Well, after a couple of weeks of that, they sent us out with a large crew. And we got a three-story house. I think it was in Malvern. Had a three-story house that they invariably always had pianos on the third floor. But we're working and we're wrapping things up. And the foreman of the crew came up to us and said, in not so polite terms, what were we doing? And it's like, we're working. And he said, this is not what we do. First of all, we found out that you get there and you clock in a little early, and then you all load up and you go and you eat breakfast for about an hour and a half. Then you arrive at the house. When you arrive at the house, you tell the clients that you're going to be working and it would be best if they left you so that you could work and get your work done. And then half of you basically don't do anything while the other half works really slowly because you want to get overtime. And then you take a 2-hour lunch and you find the nearest pub, and it would be how many pitchers and cheesesteaks could we get in 2 hours. Then you go back and you clock in after it's overtime and make sure that there's at least another day on the job.
And
so that's what I learned from my summer in the suburbs of Philadelphia working for a moving company way, way back in the day. And like I said, I'm sure that nothing like that goes on anymore.
We're thrilled to be joined by the we're thrilled to be joined by the Penn State beat writer for the Philadelphia Inquirer, who's been following Penn State for quite some time and has given us a couple of minutes so he can provide the Penn State side of the analysis we've got going for this this Saturday's big game between Auburn and Penn State up at Happy Valley, the whiteout, College Game Day, really the main event of college football this weekend. We welcome in Joe Giuliano from the Philadelphia Inquirer. How you doing, Joe?
Doing fine, guys. My sincerest apologies. I was not at the phone when you called, and I want to say how sorry I am.
Oh, no, that's no problem. Joe, that was Dan. This is Bill.
Yeah, thank you for making some time for us, by all means.
Absolutely.
No problem.
Yeah, we appreciate you spending a little bit of time with us. I mean, the folks down here, Joe, are really excited about this. I mean, Auburn has not made a trip to a Big Ten school in nearly a century, so it's something that is very, very rare. And folks are really excited about the opportunity for the trip to Happy Valley.
Well, that's great. Penn State people are very hospitable. They'll be noisy, but they'll be hospitable. It's going to be a I think everybody's looking forward to this. Whenever you have an SEC Big Ten matchup, and I know they are rare, it's really a special time. And I think the whiteout and the capacity crowd and the noise and everything will just add to it. National TV, like you said, College Game Day showing up on campus. It should be something special.
And in part because it's early in the season and you have two undefeated teams, meeting at this stage in the year, seems to be a lot of confidence on both sides right now as far as their team's chances of pulling off a victory this Saturday night. And you're closer to the situation than us. Would you say that's a fair assessment of the Penn State side? There seems to be, whether it's from the fans, players, coaches, there seems to be some confidence in Penn State's ability to go in and win this big game Saturday.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. I think everybody got very excited. Penn State going to Wisconsin for the season opener, a really tough place to play and a tough team, physical. But the fact that they won that game on the road they've really embraced the fact that they may have something special as far as their team is concerned, especially after such a disappointing season last year when they were 4-5. So, that gave them a lot of confidence. And then beating Ball State at home 44-13. Ball State was the defending MAC champion, and they had pretty much everybody back from last year's team. So I think the ease in which they won that game was another confidence boost, and that they're ready to go. This has been this first six games before their bye week, tough games, nationally ranked Wisconsin, nationally ranked Auburn, at nationally ranked Iowa, and then Indiana, which was in the rankings. Mm-hmm. So it's a tough early stretch, and so far so good for Penn State.
Talking with Joe Giuliano of the Philadelphia Inquirer here on the Wednesday edition of The Drive with Bill and Dan. And I am sure that James Franklin just wishes, couldn't Southern Cal have waited another week before they made the change? He's getting questions about the rumors or reports that there is mutual interest in there, and this is absolutely not the time that he wants to be discussing or thinking about anything other than the matchup Saturday night.
Well, that's correct. He doesn't want to be talking about it, but the funny thing is, every time Clay Helton's been on the hot seat at USC, Franklin's name has always come up.
Mm-hmm.
And now that the chop has been made, his name has come up again, although he and it's like a who's who of coaching is in line to get that job. So, but he was asked about it yesterday, and he said, look, he says, I hate the distractions, especially this week. I'm going to talk to my leadership council, which is a number of players from each class. They sit down and talk about, rules on the team and everything else. And he wanted to talk to them. And Sean Clifford, their quarterback, said today, hey, we're fine with everything. We're looking ahead to Auburn, and nothing's going to distract us from getting ready for the Tigers.
I'm glad you mentioned Sean Clifford, because he seems to be one of the more pivotal players in this matchup. Penn State was able to make a pair of really big passing plays against Wisconsin that may have been the difference in that game in the opener in Madison. I'm sure the plan Saturday is for Clifford and the Penn State receivers to test the Auburn passing defense. How is the confidence level or the belief in Clifford right now among the program?
Well, Sean has a lot of confidence in himself. That's a key part of it. But after last year, Penn State started 0-5 last year, and Clifford had 9 turnovers in those first 5 games. And I think everybody was like wondering what the heck happened to our quarterback who led them to an 11-3 season in 2019 and a Cotton Bowl victory. Like the real Sean Clifford that disappeared somehow. And this year, you know, he really feels like he's got to get it back. He's been very careful with the ball. They have 0 turnovers in their first 2 games, which Clifford and James Franklin alike think is fantastic. But, you know, he's a smart guy. He prepares well. He's got a new offensive coordinator, his 4th in 5 years. And you know, he likes them. They seem to be on the same page. They're working hard to get Penn State's offense on track. It's still a work in progress. Explosive plays are what James Franklin likes to talk about, and the explosive plays haven't been plentiful in the first 2 games, but they're working on it. But Clifford's been there. This is his 5th year, and he's a veteran. He's well respected by everybody in the program, and this will be a big game for him tonight. Saturday night. I think it's his eighth game against a ranked team, and I think they're 5-3 against the. Clifford is 5-3 as a starter against ranked teams, I think was the stat I read.
Yeah, that's very impressive. I mean, on the other side, when you look at Auburn, Bo Nix has had similar situation as far as, I mean, every year it's been a different coordinator for right. him, and he has struggled on the road, although we've looked at most of those games have been against teams that don't lose a lot of games at home. Alabama, LSU 2 years ago was one of the best teams we thought we'd ever seen until Alabama came along last year. Athens, Georgia, and then Gainesville, Florida are some of the places that he's gone and lost. So he's trying to get the monkey off his back. When you look at Auburn, and James Franklin talked about this a little yesterday at his press conference, it's really difficult to know exactly what you're seeing because Auburn has played such they've been just overwhelmingly better than the opposition the first 2 games.
Yeah, I remember him saying that yesterday. I gave that one an asterisk. I'm going to use that in a future story about he doesn't know what film to watch. Should he watch Boise State? Should he watch this team? Should he watch that team? Like Derek Mason was his successor at Vanderbilt. You know, should he be watching defenses that Derek Mason coached? It's a dilemma for him, I'm mm-hmm. sure. But they're finding, like Clifford said today, he says, well, they're running the same formations. He said, at least we can study those and see, how that works out. But that's a real puzzle for them to try to figure out just what Auburn's doing. And I'm sure Auburn has some stuff in the bag that they haven't even used yet. So that's going to be another area of concern for Penn State and its fans.
We were talking with someone who covers the Auburn program and getting their thoughts on Penn State, and they were struck by some of the size and athleticism of the linebackers at Penn State, which is true to form.
Well, with linebacker you yeah, with, had, yeah, with, was
with,
for years.
Yeah, with the history of that program. What can you tell us about the group at that position that Penn State brings into this year?
Well, their leader is Ellis Brooks, the middle linebacker, senior. He actually was ejected from the Wisconsin game for targeting in the 4th quarter, so he missed the first half of last week's game against Ball State, and he was replaced by another guy who's played a lot of middle linebacker. His name is Jesse Lucchetta. Lucchetta had an interception return for a touchdown last week. But the thing with Lucchetta is he's beefed up to over 250, so they're using him in some circumstances as a defensive end. So that's a pretty interesting match, middle linebacker and defensive end. Their best player might be Brandon Smith, one of the outside linebackers, number 12, a really hard hitter, a guy who maybe gets a little too worked up sometimes and gets called for penalties. But he's an excellent football player. And then the third guy, the other side, is Curtis Jacobs, a sophomore who seems, I think he came in as a safety really from high school, and he's bulked up to be a linebacker, and his speed is really the thing that sets him apart. But he's still learning the position, so that could be a bit of an issue. But their three linebackers are steadily improving, and that's the way they want it at Penn State, LBU as they call it.
Well, Joe, I mean, Auburn's situation is, I feel like their strength is their back seven led by their linebackers. So I think these teams are similar in the fact that they would both like to put the other team into predictable situations and see how the see how the quarterbacks handle it. I would assume that Tank Bigsby has caught the eye of most Penn State folks.
Absolutely, there's no question about that, And even Mr. Hunter has caught their attention too, especially with that 94-yard touchdown run last week. They're definitely two of the tougher running backs they've seen so far. There was a kid, Malusi, from Wisconsin, who gained like 150 yards against them, but needed like 35 carries. Their rush defense has been pretty good, mm-hmm. averaging less than 3 yards a carry defensively, and their total defense. They're allowing less than four yards a play. So, so far so good. But they're not going to see any offense like they're going to see from Auburn, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, and then of course Auburn's not going to average 10 yards a snap against real teams either. So yeah, it's really interesting. We're really excited about it. Dan's going to stay here and hold down the fort while I head up there.
And Bill's making his first trip in a while to the area.
It has been quite a while.
I guess we'd be remiss talking with someone from the Philadelphia Inquirer not to get a local recommendation or two, Bill.
We're landing there in Philadelphia. So any recommendations, food wise, around the airport before we head over toward Harrisburg.
Oh, well, there's always a few. I mean, you can go into South Philadelphia and get a cheesesteak, or
absolutely
go to Tony Luke's and get a chicken cutlet sandwich. I mean, those things are, these aren't fancy meals, but they're stuff that
we're looking for anyway. We're not looking fancy. Look, we're coming from we're just coming from Alabama and wanting something good to eat on the way.
Might have sold me with that Tony Luke's
thing.
That
sounds pretty good.
Yeah, Tony Luke's has a variety of foods. They're right in the stadium area. If you cross the Penrose Avenue Bridge from the airport, you can see Lincoln Financial Field and Citizens Bank Park and the Wells Fargo Center, where all the professional teams play. Mm-hmm. So you can find your way out there to Front and Oregon. That's Tony Luke's. It's pretty darn good food.
Sounds great. Joe, we really appreciate you spending a little time with us. Look forward to it. You going to be at the game?
Yes, I am. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Good. Maybe we'll catch up there in the box. So thanks again for spending a little time with us.
My pleasure, and my apologies again. But have a good night.
Oh no, it was an absolute pleasure talking to you, Joe. Thank you so much, and yeah, best of luck in your when you get to see the game this Saturday.
Okay, thanks a lot, and see you guys soon.
All right, take care, Joe Giuliano from the Philadelphia Inquirer, joining us here at the outset of hour number two. We'd love for you to join in on the Kia of Auburn Hotline, 334-321-1390. Come on in as we continue with the Wednesday Drive.
South State Bank.
And on Fox Sports Central Alabama at 98.3 FM in Birmingham and Sylacauga. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive. Bill and Dan with Drew at the controls here in the Wild Business Studio. Let's get to the Kia of Auburn Hotline. And I forgot who was first. Oh, Terry's up first. Hey, Terry.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Good.
Good. Hey, guys, is it just me, or does it always seem to come down to, penalties and turnovers and all that kind of stuff for every game? But in this game specifically, it seems like whoever can force the quarterback to beat them can win the game.
I think so.
I don't think Sean Clifford's that good. And y'all know what I think of Bo Nix.
Yeah. We will find out if it is indeed bow time.
Because if and I don't know what you guys witnessed, but what I observed of the Penn State Wisconsin game, they couldn't stop the run. And now, if you give 95 plays to Wisconsin, that 3 yards in the cloud of dust offense got 95 plays. If they don't stop the run better, Tank Bigsby could have 100 yards by halftime.
Now, yeah, if Auburn has as much success at the line of scrimmage as Wisconsin did, they'll get a lot more yards than Wisconsin. You're right.
Now, Bill, what do they like on the defensive line? I mean, on linebacker, you, as you said a while ago.
Yeah, I mean, they're good sized. I mean, they're a physical pretty and they have pretty good speed on defense. But they also believe, I mean, they're more in the bend but don't break type defense, which, you know, it worked for them tremendously against Wisconsin because Wisconsin kept shooting themselves in the foot down in the red zone.
And I think one of the elements where both of these teams are confident and both of the fan bases are confident right now
secondary.
Is, I think Penn State believes that when it's the Penn State defensive line against the Auburn offensive line, I think Penn State believes they've got the advantage in that matchup. So, I mean, that's going to be another one where, and I know Jason was talking about it in the first hour, that's going to be one where if Auburn can feel as though they win that battle, they've got a great chance of winning.
Well, if they're a bend but don't break defense, and Anders Carlson can nail 4 or 5 field goals, and Auburn can score a touchdown too, I think they win the game going away.
Well, I really do. And that's why I think, and another point that I thought Jason, you know, a point that Jason made that I totally agree with and would have been my answer to the question about, you know, something pivotal for this Saturday. How many times can Penn State, how many passing plays of 20-plus yards? Like, how many times is Penn State able to make a big play through the passing game? Because if that's happening a lot, that's big trouble for Auburn and for the Auburn defense. It just took a couple of them for, you know, to be the difference in the game against Wisconsin. If, you know, the Auburn safeties fall asleep a couple of times and let Penn State receivers go deep on them, or if the Auburn corners take a chance that doesn't pay off and it turns into a big play for the other team, that could be, if this game stays close, that could be the way that could be a way Penn State moves the football.
Well, Penn State is much more of a it's more similar to a Gus Malzahn kind of offense. I mean, they'll run it and then throw it deep. They'll play action and throw deep. They like to throw the deep ball. Clifford has never been a tremendous completion percentage guy himself, but he's pretty good at throwing the deep pass.
Well, how crucial do you think, guys, or how big could it be in the game if Bo Nix could tear off a couple of 10, 12-yard runs?
I think it could be very big, and that's something that we talked about a little yesterday. I almost had the feeling that Auburn, Brian Harsin, had told him, don't worry about running and getting hit this week. Because we may need you to pick up some yards with your legs.
Yeah, and I'm not sure how much hits, you know, how many hits you want Bo Nix taking in those first two games Auburn had anyway. But yeah, I think there could be, it could have been strategic, and I wouldn't be surprised to see Bo Nix more active by design in the run game. Not scrambles, you know, not pass plays that turn into runs, but plays where Bo Nix is supposed to run the ball and gain positive yardage. Appreciate the phone call, Terry. Good stuff.
Need to get to our bottom of the hour break. Back with more of your phone calls. Derek, James, you're the first two when we come back for the final half hour of the Wednesday Drive.
On ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com and on Fox Sports Central Alabama at 98.3 FM in Birmingham and Sylacauga. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive. Final 25 minutes here on this Wednesday afternoon. And let's get right back to the Kia of Auburn hotline. And Derek is next. Hey, Derek.
Hey, Bill. How you guys doing?
Man, we're doing fine.
Doing all right, Derek. Good to hear from you.
Hey, I was just sitting here listening to you guys and went ahead and confirmed my flight for tomorrow, and I wanted to just call and tell you what happened to me. When, you know, we waited this summer a little while to book for this trip because we weren't sure that they would let everybody into the stands, really waited a little late. So I had to get rooms in Altoona, which, you know, that's just a little bit.
I know. So, yeah, I've got some good friends staying there.
Yeah, a minor league team, right?
Yeah, that's right. Well, I also called
one of the motels that's right downtown and booked me a room for Thursday night there, just thinking, you know, there's a chance since I'm already booked, I can keep calling and say, hey, I want to extend. And I've been doing that every week since I booked. Well, the girl called me this afternoon at 4 o'clock and said, hey, we've had a cancellation.
Wow.
We've got you booked. So we're staying right downtown. We're actually going to stay from Thursday. We're flying home Monday because there was no direct flights. We're flying into Harrisburg.
Okay.
And then going to drive over from Harrisburg.
Right.
And just, what? Man, yep. I don't know if this is exactly on my bucket list because I had no idea that this was going to happen. But how exciting is this? I mean, you know, it's Penn State and Auburn in State College. I'm excited.
No, if you're gonna, we were looking at the capacities of the stadiums earlier today. Just, you know, looking around at how many places in college football seat more than the stadium you guys are going to go to Saturday night. And it's really, I mean, if you're going to go play at a Big Ten school, I mean, this one, Michigan, Ohio State, I mean, those are the ones you're not getting cheated playing a big game at those stadiums. I mean, there's going to be 106,000 plus, and it's going to feel like the big game everyone's making it out to be right now, certainly at kickoff.
Well, you guys need to look on the Auburn side, the 40-yard line, about 14 rows up, and I'm sure they'll be white everywhere. But there's going to be two orange Auburn shirts.
How did you get those seats?
I bought them on StubHub.
Wow. Okay.
And
I was going to say, I don't think those are in the. I was going to say, I don't think those are in the Auburn section.
No, I'm. I didn't want to be. Auburn. I want them folks to know that we're there from Auburn, and I as soon as we said we're going to go, Bill, I went straight on StubHub, and I mean, I paid a little bit for them, but
I would
still,
think,
well,
yeah.
I mean, if I'm going to drive, if I'm going to fly up there, pay for a motel, pay for a rental car, and stay all weekend, I didn't want to sit in the upper deck with 10 people pushing me on either side. I wanted to be down where I could see the ball game and meet some Penn State folks. I mean, fortunately, it's not like going to Tuscaloosa to the Mangy Tide. I mean, I don't mind meeting those guys and being nice and showing them what Southern hospitality is. I'm looking forward to it.
Everything I've heard from anybody who's been up there just raves about how hospitable the Penn State fans are, and said, yeah, they love, they love their Nittany Lions, but that you'd have a great time.
Derek, before we let you go, how do you think the game's going to play out?
Yeah, my score is 27-13. Auburn. I don't think that they can produce enough offense to beat us. Now, I mean, obviously, if we get down early, it could change. But if we start and stay close with them early, I just don't think they can produce enough offense to beat them. But then again, I mean, that could be my heart talking and my head off in a different room. That's what I think. And if they don't, I'm going to go up there and enjoy myself and hold my head high and love my Auburn Tigers and be kind to everyone up there so they'll say, wow, we're going to look forward to coming to Auburn next year.
That sounds good. Appreciate it, Derek.
All right, guys. Hey, I'm calling you guys after the ball game.
Oh, we're ready for you. And, Derek, we appreciate the phone call, and what a great way to work in the fact that, yes, after the game, going to be live, presented by Skybar Cafe. We're going to be live as soon as Auburn-Penn State goes final right here on ESPN 106.7, online at ESPNAU.com. We're going to be taking calls. We're going to be breaking down the Auburn-Penn State game live from downtown Auburn. So, you're not going to want to miss after the game this Saturday night. Hoping to get a couple of calls from Pennsylvania. We have some loyalists who have called from road games before.
I hope this is better than the one that got mentioned a while ago. Remember?
You know what? And when
I called you right after the Clemson game. That was one of the first ever after the games.
That was the first road game for after the game we ever did. And hopefully this goes better than that one on the field for the Auburn Tigers. But couldn't go worse.
Oh, yeah, it could.
You're right. ready to come in. Anyways, yes, we'll be live as soon as Auburn Penn State goes final right here on ESPN 106.7. Do not miss it. After the game, presented by Sky Bar Cafe.
Back to the Kia of Auburn hotline, and I think James is up next. Hey, James.
Hey, man. How y'all doing, Bill?
Doing fine.
I was just hearing y'all talking, man. I think Auburn got a chance, but I knew with the stuff I'm gonna tell y'all, man, y'all gonna think I'm in the Kool-Aid. Penn State don't really look that good to me. If y'all watched the Wisconsin game, Wisconsin got out of there and fumbled.
Yeah, they fumbled once, threw another interception, missed a field goal. Yeah, they struggled big time in the red zone.
I know y'all think it's cool. Everybody think Jones is so good. Now, when I tell you now, should Jones get him dropped? Clemson don't look that good to me. They didn't look too good to me anyway from the start. But see, everybody think because they was ranked so high and Jones beat them, Georgia was tough, okay? They blew out UAB. Yes, they did. But UAB school isn't at a SEC caliber. They're not even at the SEC's level. So I don't even care about their game. Georgia, to me, is good until they really play somebody. But if you notice Clemson, Clemson really don't play nobody. And all I think they did was just call Clemson early. And y'all been talking about your Texas A&M. We should have beat Texas A&M last year.
Yeah, you're right. They very well could have.
If you remember that game, we had an interception left there, and the guy let the ball go right between his hands for a Texas A&M touchdown. Texas A&M, to me, I think they should have ran the ball more on Colorado.
No question in my mind. They would have beaten them much easier if they had.
And certainly when the backup quarterback goes in, I mean, yep. Yeah, you just it's sort of a baffling strategy. You know, it was maybe the plan was to throw the ball a lot with Haynes King in the game, and then when they get hurt, they didn't want to deviate from the game plan. But you're right. It seemed like it was an attack that didn't bear the kind of fruit you were expecting from the A&M offense, and I mean that offense looks like they got some work to do before conference play begins, because otherwise they could be in for some street fights this year.
They've got some talent, but yes, you're right, James. We appreciate the call. You know, I wanted to
good to hear from James.
Yeah, I wanted to get to a couple of things. You know, we had Terry was asking about the Penn State defense. Well, Jason Caldwell previewed the Penn State defense there on their website at autigers.com, and had some pretty interesting numbers that thus far through two games, and yes, they're 2-0, and they have been against much better competition than Auburn's played. Opponents are 2-for-8 in the red zone against them. Now, through the years, and if you're thinking, well, that's just this year, Jason points out that over the last seven seasons, Penn State is second only to Clemson in number of quarterback sacks, third in the nation in quarterback hurries, fourth in pressures, fourth in fewest touchdown passes allowed, 10th in fewest rushing yards allowed, and second in sacks. And thus far, like I said, this year, just two scores in 8 red zone opportunities. And as Joe Giuliano was telling us, averaging right at just allowing 4 yards per snap. So they're used to being pretty good defensively, and they're off to a very good start on that side of the ball for sure.
Right, and with Penn State, you know, I think the Wisconsin game, You don't want to overreact to what Penn State struggled with in the Wisconsin game, because it was a quality opponent on the road in a conference game to open the season. But I mean, Penn State had, was it less than 50 yards total offense?
I think they had 43 yards.
Total offense.
43 yards at the half.
Yeah, for total offense at the half.
Right.
They connect some passes. Wisconsin 0-for-4 in the red zone that day, I believe. They had 4 scoreless red zone trips. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are, I mean, these are things where that can't be your plan to win every week. You can't be an all or nothing passing game offense. You know that counts on forcing turnovers in the red zone. You know, bend but don't break to that point. And something else that we haven't talked about too much, and it could have just been opening day jitters. Penn State, the reason they won that game 16-10 and not 17-10 was because they missed the extra point.
They hit the upright on an extra point and missed a 23-yard field goal.
23-yard field goal. Stout, I believe, is the kicker for Penn State. I mean, I think that if this game comes down to a pivotal field goal, Auburn does feel better about, and you know what? Much better about the guy they would have kicking an important field goal than Penn State would. At least based on the fact that, Stout certainly shaky in the opener. I think he had a better game against Ball State, but still the problems there in the opener were, you know, tough to forget.
Let's ask our listeners. All right, so we've heard the criticisms of Penn State not being that impressive. With Auburn struggles on the road, if Auburn came back with a 16-10 win and got outgained 2-1. Would you be any less pleased because you beat a top 10 team on the road?
Oh no, I think that
I think there'd be some people that would go, this just proves they're no good on the road.
No, I think this is a game, and we've talked about these sorts of games before. This is not a game.
You get out of there with period, and it's great.
This is a game where style points are immaterial. Okay,
that's what Penn State did at Wisconsin.
Yeah, but
they're not getting much credit for it.
Well, they're getting some. I mean,
from folks around here,
right? Well, and they're getting the credit of they're a 2-0 team,
right?
And they're
right there at the top 10.
It's just yes, I mean that's something where you know if you win in less than impressive fashion, people doubt whether or not you can do it again when you face another quality team, as opposed to if Penn State had dispatched Wisconsin with relative ease, you'd be thinking, oh boy, you know, this is a team that can, you know, maybe you'd have doubts about Wisconsin at that point, but you say, oh boy, this is a, you know, this is a man eater of a football team. But I think if Auburn comes back and you are, no, I think style points are immaterial in a game this big, especially away from home. If you win 3-2. Well, we're on the anniversary, right, of Auburn 3, Mississippi State 2. You win, however you win, and you're happy that you avoided a loss at Penn State. Now, if you leave Penn State with a bunch of injuries to key players and you're not very impressive in victory, then you can maybe be nervous about what it could mean going forward.
Then be glad you have Georgia State the next week.
Yeah, then you can be nervous about projecting it forward. But, no, if this team wins in what you may consider less than impressive fashion, who cares? You won the football game.
It'll make the trip back a whole lot better if there's a win regardless.
By the way, and we saw Auburn win. You think about a couple of last year's victories.
Yes.
You saw Auburn win a couple of games in less than spectacular fashion. And you know what? You were grateful you won the games. Now, maybe they came back later when people were making the argument about how the season could have gone differently. But you win, you know, the Ole Miss game and the Arkansas game, and you are just it's relief. And I think that if Auburn doesn't have their A game and they can still win Saturday night, the feeling is relief, not concern about what it could mean going forward. I think it's relief that you got the win.
We'll get to our final break of the afternoon. Stick with us as we wind it down here on the Wednesday Drive.